I want to remind you that our offering at this service is a bucket. In the back on that table, you can put your offering in the bucket. That is what we give for the work of the church. We put our gifts together and we use them in good ways. And we also give online, and a lot of folks do that. So those are ways to give online. So our prayer time today is going to be prayerfully considering your spiritual gifts. So everyone should have gotten one of these. If you did not, they're on the music stand right back there, and just hop up and go get one. That's fine. There are there's a different sheet for kids, and so you can grab that too, and a pencil. And we're going to give you a good 5 minutes to take this inventory. It's 15 questions, and for each question, you're going to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 100. And 1 means this is definitely not me. I don't do this at all. I don't have this gift. Don't even talk to me about it. And then 100 is I am a superhero at this gift. And so you just pick a number in there for each of these, and it's on the front and back. And then take a look at your top three, and you can write those in the my top three. So go ahead and take just a few minutes. For you online, there's a QR code. There it is. And you can scan that QR code, and that'll take you to a place where you can download this test and take it at the same time. All right, we're going to move along. If you're still working on yours, that's just fine. We're going to continue on with our scripture reading today. And this is Paul talking about spiritual gifts. I'm going to read from two different places in the New Testament. First, from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. Hear these words. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And from Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The encourager in encouragement. The giver in sincerity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is our second week in our sermon series, Bloom Where You're Planted. Today is identifying your bloom. And we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And to begin this, I need to make an announcement. I'm gifted. I know this because at the age of 11, my mom subscribed to the Gifted Children's Newsletter. Yes, it was for parents of bright kids, and it had articles about dealing with bright kids, and it had a section for kids. And one of the things they had was called Wordle. This is 30 years before this whole big Wordle game that I don't play. This was different. This was kind of word games, like the word stand, and then the letter I underneath it. And that meant, anybody get that? You do. Yes, I understand. You get that? Okay. So kids were invited to create their own and send them in. And the coolest one I remember ever seeing was the word issue. Some girl submitted issue 5 times in 2 columns. So 2 times 5. Anybody get what that one is? Multiple issues is good. 10 issues. 10 issues. That's pretty good. So my mom said to my brother and I, you guys have an opportunity to be published. You can come up with one. And so I don't remember what my brother did, but here's what I came up with. N-A-F-I-S-H, Nuffish, Nuffish. Tuna fish. Nuffish? So much for gifted. I mean, how lame is that? But they printed it, so that was my first. So seriously, I was actually in gifted programs in school and everything, and I was kind of proud of that. Kind of wore it as a badge of honor, you know? I felt kind of powerful. Hey, I'm gifted. Then I went to high school, and I met the jocks. You want to talk about powerful? The jocks were powerful. They ruled the school. And so I stayed clear of them. But I watched them and I began to realize those athletes have gifts. What they can do is amazing. And I looked at like the journalism students doing the yearbook. And I was like, they have gifts too. And I looked at the orchestra kids and I was like, wow, I wish I could play those instruments. They have gifts too. And then I'm looking at even the class clown, which was me sometimes, but I'm like, that takes some gifts to do that. Even the social butterfly, wow, that's some gifts. I began to suspect that everybody was gifted. And that there were all kinds of people in the world and that there were all kinds of gifts. My particular gift was maybe book smarts, which is also affectionately known as nerd. All right, nerds, all right, all right. But everybody had gifts. When we talk about gifts, sometimes in Christianity, people talk about a difference between having gifts from God and skills and talents, things like that. I don't make the distinguishment. They're all from God, in my opinion. So I think of them all as gifts, because that's how it works being a child of God. Every one of us was made in the image of God. The big word for that, imago Dei. We're made in the image of God. And every one of us has some of that twinkle of the divine creator within us. That's not me. That's coming from Paul. Paul talks about these ideas to two different churches. It's part of his curriculum for building up the church. He's giving this new theology to these people in these churches, in these letters, and helping them understand everybody has gifts. They just have to understand that the Holy Spirit is giving them the gifts, and they have to choose to use them. Did anybody ever tell you you were gifted? Well, I'm telling you that, and Paul's telling you that. And so we're going to look at that today. We're going to focus on some core gifts. They're talked about in the Bible. There's no complete exhaustive list. There's no one place where Paul says, here are the 10 gifts. They're different in different places, but Christians kind of combine them and flesh some things out and kind of have a list. These are the core primary gifts that we use to build up the kingdom of God. Maybe all of our gifts can be used to build up the kingdom of God, but these are the primary ones, and every one of us has these gifts to some degree. So on your little inventory, there may be some that you have just a little bit of the gifts, you know, maybe a little bit lower number, and there are some that you had higher numbers. Today, I want you to kind of focus on the higher numbers. Focus on your top three. And pay attention to those as we talk about them. Actually, before I start talking about these gifts, I want you to just turn to a couple people around you and share one or more of your top three gifts. Take a minute and do that.
No light, if darkness don't exist, he never left my side. He showed me the way. Out of all the storms raging at the sea, he gave me back my life. I owe him everything. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in the name of the Lord. to shore. Help me through.
All right, let's come on back.
He loved me at my worst.
Were you surprised by what came out for your gifts? Your top gifts? Maybe was that a surprise? Do you feel like you have a good understanding of what those mean? We're going to actually, pretty much the rest of this sermon is going to be me going through each of these gifts. There's 15 of them, so I'm going to go pretty quick. But just to put in your mind an idea of what these gifts mean. And to help out, I asked my good buddy AI to come up with a contemporary or real life or fictional example of somebody that embodies this gift. So we'll see how they match out. So as I go through these, you want to pay a special attention to the ones that are in your top three, but really look at all of them, and you might actually be thinking about, who do I know that has this gift? All right. So we're going to start. First one, gifts of encouragement. That's uplifting others, you know, helping others find their strength, raising spirits for people, helping other people just keep on keeping on. The example given for that, Oprah Winfrey. She comes out, she's got all this positive attitude. You can do that. It doesn't mean you get to say, you get a car, or anything like that. But Oprah has that kind of encouraging thing to it. All right, that's quite a gift. Next one is service. Service is getting things done because they need to be done. And it's just using your skills to meet people's needs. So the folks that went on the Tochi mission trip, that was service. The folks that volunteer at Center of Grace, that's service. The example for this one is kind of interesting. Frodo Baggins. You remember the Lord of the Rings? Frodo was the hobbit, and somebody had to go destroy this evil ring. And he was like, somebody's got to do it. I'll do it. And so he went off to take the ring. He did this act of service for the common good. That's quite a gift. Next one is teaching. Well, teaching, we know what that is. Helping others learn and grow. And this isn't just talking about book smarts or being nerdy. This can be coaches, mentors, training, all that stuff. The example for this one I like, younger folks might not remember this one, but Mr. Miyagi. Remember from Karate Kid, wax on, wax off. You know, he had a unique teaching approach to learning martial arts. I like that one. All right, the next one is giving. This is talking about generosity, sharing your blessings, finding joy in helping others, selflessness. That's the embodiment of what we talk about when we talk about stewardship. It's talking about giving. An example of that, Bill and Melinda Gates. You know that they have given away over $60 billion to help with global hunger? That is amazing. But I don't think you have to be a billionaire to have that gift. You give from what you have. All right, next one, leadership. Leadership is motivating others, guiding people towards a common goal. You guide with some authority, also with some respect, just like one of my personal heroes, Jean-Luc Picard. From Star Trek, right? You boldly lead people where nobody has gone before. That's quite a gift. All right, then there's mercy. Mercy, deep compassion, support for the hurting. This is caring that is selfless and heartfelt. And what better example? Maybe you even picture in your mind, I wonder how many people are picturing this person, Mother Teresa. You know, she worked with the lepers in Calcutta her whole life. That's quite a gift. Okay, the next one is exhortation. A little bit harder one to understand, but it's challenging others to grow and to do what's right. So preachers are often talked about having the gift of exhortation, or motivational speakers, but it could also be just being a friend that challenges their friends to live up to their potential, that kind of thing. The example of this, a little weird, Katniss Everdeen. Anybody know what that's from? Hunger Games. So she's this young person that ends up having an audience of millions watching her, and she teaches through her words and actions a better way of living. So that is exhortation. The next one is prophecy. This one has a lot of intuition, reading signals, reading the signs of the times, and having a sense of how things might unfold or how God might be leading us. Here's the example AI gave. Greta Thunberg. You know who that is? She started at 15 years old in Sweden protesting on behalf of the environment. Remember her? She's older now. She just got arrested last week. It was in the news at a protest. But she's being prophetic, getting out there talking about the environment. That's quite a gift. The next one is discernment. People with the gift of discernment can get at the truth of things. You know, separating fact from fiction, helping people make hard decisions. You know, that's having a real critical mind and a sharp faith. An example of this, take your pick, either Sherlock Holmes or the Dalai Lama. Kind of one or the other on that one. All right, the next is called communications. Now, on your inventory, it says tongues or interpretation of tongues, because in some Christian churches, and back in Paul's days, people would speak in tongues. It was like divine speech. And then somebody else would have to interpret what it said. And we don't practice that in our church. We talk about it more as communication skill, being able to speak across barriers and connect people and build bridges. So that's that. You have that passion for communicating and building bridges. You can take a message and you make it clear. The example for this is Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know who that is? Science guy? He's very smart, but he's very good at communicating the message behind the science to dumb people like me, as I can understand. So that's quite a gift. All right, and then hospitality. Hospitality, being welcoming, being warm, making people feel comfortable and accepted, and engaging with people. And it's also shaping your environment to make it a place that's open and inviting. The example for this one is kind of interesting. Dolly Parton. I mean, who wouldn't feel welcomed by, come on in, and sit down, get yourself comfortable and some lemonade, or, you know. And if you don't think that fits you, maybe one of the Marthas. Martha Stewart or Martha in the Bible. That's quite a gift. The next one, administration. Organizing, planning, keeping things running smoothly. A church can be full of passion and faith, but if it doesn't have people to help organize the work, it just comes off chaotic and unfocused. And that's true for any system. We need administrators. The example for this, I don't know if I agree with this one, Mark Zuckerberg. Facebook guy? You know, I mean, I can see it. He's not the greatest leader, but he had done some amazing administration and organizing work to make that corporation work. All right. The next one is faith. Just faith. Having a deep belief in God. These are people we turn to when times are tough and people start to lose hope. And you just keep people going through the strength of your conviction and assurance. The example for this one is Billy Graham. I don't know if you all know Billy Graham, but he's one of the greatest pastors, preachers in the world, in all of history, the way that he would, just by witnessing to his faith, how strong his faith was, other people came to believe. All right, helps. This is an interesting one. Helps is not what you might think. The helps is the problem solver, the fixer. You need help with that? You need to figure something out? This person can do it. You're always there for the assist. I don't know if any of you knew Gary Chura. There was a kind of a ice cream social memorial in this room for him, member of the church. And one person after another talked about how he would fix things. He would come in to help with that. He'd get this taken care of. He had the gift of helps. The example here is another Lord of the Rings example. Samwise Gamgee. You remember him? That was the Sean Astin character. He was friends with Frodo. Frodo went on this quest out of service, remember? Samwise was like, all right, Mr. Frodo, I'm going to help you. And that was his job, was just to help and assist Frodo on his quest. That's quite a gift. We're down to the last one. The gift of wisdom. People with the gift of wisdom have this understanding of how the world works. Maybe it's from your vast experience, and you've learned from your experience, and you can share that. But some people just seem born with basic wisdom, just this understanding and way of looking at things. The example for this one, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice. She's seen by a whole generation of folks as this example of wisdom, an inspiration to people. That's quite a gift. So okay, those are the 15, and there are more. But I'm wondering, where do you see yourself in all of these? If as I was reading them, you were like, well, actually, that's more my gift, that's fine, then that's your gift. This is a pretty basic inventory for you to go at looking at these. Did you get any confirmation of gifts that you're already using? Or maybe you thought to yourself, wow, I have this gift, but I'm not really using it. Next week, we're gonna talk about how we use our gifts and how they fit together with other people's gifts. But I think it's worthwhile for us to just take today just to focus on you and your gifts, to remember that you are gifted by God in multiple ways. And understanding of this was foundational for the building of the church in Corinth, the church in Rome. It's foundational for building this church. But before all of that, it's foundational in building you, who you are. When you are open to the Spirit of God, that means you're open to using what you have been given for the benefit of the world. Amen.